Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
Well, good morning. I'm happy to be here with you guys this morning. My name is Jen. And when Marcus asked me to talk on this particular verse in chapter 4, while I see, and you can tell by this trailer, this is, Psalm 23 is lovely. And everything about that trailer was lovely. But when he said, Jen, you're going to do verse 4, all I could think of was 1995. And it was Dangerous Minds, and I wanted to be Michelle Pfeiffer, and I really liked Coolio. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? For those of you who are too young, let me just tell you, go home and Google that, because not only was it a great movie, super inspiring, I almost moved to Compton after that. Coolio, single-handedly, won like a Grammy for best solo artist. And I also feel like this information is important so that you know that the girl that is about to talk to you actually really likes gangster rap. So you cannot always judge a book by its cover. So welcome to Center Church. That being said, we are looking at Psalm 23, verse 4. And we're going to actually first start by reading the whole passage, and then we're going to really lean in to that rap song. Not really, but you get what I'm saying. So why don't you go ahead and look at the screens, or you can pull out your notes and read this with me. Here we go. Begin. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's look at verse 4. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Valleys, shadows, death, so fun, right? But today we're going to talk about how you can live in God's goodness even when you're scared to death. When I was a kid, I was a thrill seeker, and I loved Six Flags. I could not wait for summertime when, my youth group and all my friends, and we would go up to Magic Mountain regularly, and the scarier the ride, the better, the more I would frequent it. You know, I didn't have time for all that little, twirly nonsense. Get me on the big roller coasters that spin me upside down. That's what I was all about. And so I don't know if it's my age, having hit a bit of a midlife, that now that thought of that not only makes me sick, but it scares me to death. And I have no interest, really, on spinning in circles and going upside down on anything. But my bloodline is rich, and I've passed that down to my kids, and I have four kids who are kind of like little daredevils and little thrill seekers when it comes to things like this. And so, like many of you, we just went to the San Diego Fair, and if you haven't, shoe fly, if you haven't, I encourage you to go. It's not over yet, but we went, and I've acquired a little bit of scaredy catness, and so my kids are old enough now to go on the larger rides, but I took them to the small little family fun area first, thinking like, let's just go on the sweet little slide. That will be fun, and everybody will be safe. And so we're over there, and they are looking at me like, we are not three anymore. And so we want to go to the big kid zone. And so, where the rap music is. Just kidding. But that's true. So we went over to the big kid zone and we bought some tickets. Now, it does cost about $5,000 to ride on a ride. So we bought a limited number of tickets. And that being said, they each were going to get about four rides. So again, I see a slide. It's a little bit bigger than the one in the baby zone. And I'm like, there, let's just go on the slide. Look at how fast they're going. They're like, Mom, can we at least go and look around first so we can decide how we want to spend our tickets? Do we have to just go on the slide? I'm like, fine. So at this point, Marcus had to step away. He wasn't with us at this time. And so we're walking around. And I do have my nephews with me, too, and the rest of my family. So there's six kids and about six adults. And so we're walking around, and there's this one ride called G-Force. And, I mean, it does spin in a circle, which, I mean, that's just going to make you throw up. But then it goes beyond that, and it starts to, like, spin, and then it turns you upside down. And then while it's spinning you upside down, it takes you over, and you go around in this full revolution. And then it decides to go around the other way. It doesn't stop there. It's like, we're going to go the other revolution as well. And so my 11-year-old is like, that's it. That is the one I want to ride, Mom. And honestly, even all my other kids, my nephews included, were like, you're on your own, Tatum. We're not doing that one. That looks so scary. So she looks at me, because Dad's not there right now, and she's like, Mom, will you go on that? And I said, Tatum, we will die. We will die. So no, I don't want to die. And she's like, Mom, come on, we won't die. Tatum, no, I can't. I cannot do it. So right about then, Dad comes back on the scene. I said, but your dad will. He totally will. So sure enough, everybody agreed to watch my Tatum and Dad go on the ride. And I will tell you, I felt sick to my stomach while they were waiting in the line. And so it was kind of a big line. It was a Friday night. And so they're waiting. And every time they would take another turn and I was within earshot, I'd be like, Marcus, make sure she is buckled. Be sure, like, pull up on the thing, on this, and then make sure it's, like, strapped down. Make sure it is locked in and buckled. He's, like, acting like he doesn't see me, because I am literally, and if you think I'm joking, those of you who know me well, I'm not joking. This is what I was doing every time I could get his eye contact. So then it gets up to be her turn, and they're taking her tickets, and I'm like, forget this. I'm going straight to the operator. I said, listen. I go right up to him. I'm like, I need you to keep my daughter alive. So I would like you to please double check her buckle when you, like, buckle down, make sure this is down really good and everything is secure. I do not want her to die. And he looked at me about the same way you guys are all looking at me. So anyway, sure enough, the ride starts spinning. The rest of my family is just like popcorn, like, wow, this is so exciting. Look what Tatum's doing. And I looked at my sister-in-law and I said, she's going to die. I can't look. And I turned around. I turned around and I refused to watch my daughter ride this ride because I was scared to death. As though not looking is going to prevent her death. But have you ever done that? This is so scary. I'm just going to close my eyes and pretend it's not happening right now because I'm afraid I'm going to die. And that's exactly what David is going to bring comfort and guidance to our heart, that we can actually live in the goodness of God even when we are scared to death. If you'll take a look at the beginning of this passage, it starts with two words, even though. Even though means despite the fact. Despite the fact. Life is valleys. And David is actually writing from a shepherd's perspective here. At this time in his life, in Psalms, he was a shepherd. And that is how he writes to us. And he often had to lead and guide his sheep through intensely dangerous valleys from Bethlehem to Jerusalem and back. Because, you see, the very nature of sheep is that they graze in a pasture. That's just what they do. They eat in the pasture, they graze, and oftentimes they'll finish on one pasture. And so David had to actually lead them through valleys, sometimes to protect them from what was in that other pasture, but oftentimes to get them to another green pasture so they could have life and fulfill their purpose and graze again. And so he was often leading sheep through valleys to actually keep the sheep alive. You might be here this morning and you might find yourself in a valley. We all face them as we're walking through life. And we're ultimately all going to face the valley of death. So encouraging. But it's true. And I want you to know that there's really good news in this scripture. Verse 4 is going to help us as we dig in to know that all fear of death can be swept from us if we will just lean in here. So my question this morning for you is, what is your valley? What are you going through? Is it a broken relationship? Maybe you thought you had found the one, and the one decided to walk from you. Maybe you were married to the one, and it's not working out. Maybe it's not even in a dating or a marriage relationship, but a friendship. Maybe you thought that this friend was a lifer, and come to find out, just a season. And it's hurtful. And you feel like your heart's a little bit broken. Maybe you're a parent in the room, and maybe you've just received an unwanted and unexpected diagnosis about your kiddo. Maybe you just were invited to the special needs club, and that is a party that not many want to join. And you find yourself there, and you're sad, and you're disappointed. Or maybe it's just that your kiddo is making some decisions that you would wish they wouldn't. And they're going down a path that you are finding yourself very heartbroken over. Maybe for you, your valley is at work, and you are struggling. You're feeling overwhelmed. You have decisions to make. You don't know which way to go. You don't know what's next. Maybe decisions are being made for you, and it's scary. Maybe you have made a decision about your life, and it's a good one. But then it's had some unexpected and unwanted consequences because maybe everybody around you isn't as supportive as you hoped they would be. Sickness, finance, the list goes on. These things are all real, and God sees you, and He cares. Which leads me to my very first point, and that is there is purpose on this path. There is purpose in this valley, on this path that you are on. God actually has an agenda, and His plan is always to build the kingdom. His plan is to make all wrongs right. And His purpose is so that we can ultimately be in greater relationship with Him. He is always desiring to be at work for something good in your life, something better, something beyond you, bigger than yourself. And His goal in this valley that you might find yourself in is to bring you through it. We walk through the valley. It's not a dead end. Then it wouldn't be a valley. It would be a dead end. But it's a valley. You're in a valley, and it's called a valley because it goes in, but it also has an out. Even though I walk through, don't get all comfy and cozy in your valley because you're not going to stay there. Don't stop and take a nap. This isn't your place to rest. It's the valley. It's not permanent. You're going to walk through it. You're not staying there forever. You are just passing through. In Proverbs 4:18 says, "The ways of right living people glow with light. The longer they live, the brighter they shine." This is not it, my friend. This isn't where you're going to stop. Light is coming. This proverb promises that you will shine. I don't know when it's going to end for you. I don't know when mine will end, but it will end. It will. It's a valley. It has an out. And Romans tells us that God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. So if you're in this room and you love God and you're a believer in him and it's not good yet, then it is not over. If it is not good yet, it's not over. You're passing through. But sometimes, oftentimes, we have to go through a very barren place to get to a better place. The shepherd has to take his sheep through the valley to get to the greener pastures. They have to walk through. And you might be sitting in here right now, and the very thought of even standing up to walk feels like too much. Your valley might be really barren. And that's okay. If you're too weak to walk, then crawl. Then crawl. And you might be like, well, I wish, but my knees are so worn out and my hands are so tired, I can't even bring myself to crawl right now. Okay? Then get on your belly and pull yourself through. And you might say, well, yeah, I can't even do that. I can't even muster the strength to army crawl through this valley. That's the beauty of the shepherd. He leads us and he guides us and he will pull you through. It's a promise that there's light and you will shine. It's guaranteed you will get through this valley. Just don't stop. I know there's a temptation to stop. But God's saying, no, you walk through, you don't stop. No storm, no sickness, no pain is permanent. What you are going through actually can have tremendous purpose for mission. It's not just for misery. God's agenda would be that this produces incredible mission in you, not just make you miserable. One of my deepest pains, one of the greatest valleys of my life was a long time ago, 13 years ago when my oldest daughter was born. And if you've been around her a little bit, you know that oftentimes we do refer to Addie. Because I want to encourage you with something. The reason why is that deep valley changed our lives. That deep valley has had long-lasting impact for joy and for good. So if you're in a deep valley right now, take hope. Because you're going to be talking about all the good for years to come from that deep valley. And that's exactly what Addie did when Addie was born, unexpected diagnosis, and I got invited to the special needs club, and I never wanted to be at that party. I still sometimes have a hard time being at that party. But the reality is, that valley led me to my deepest, greatest calling and my deepest connection. The relationship that I have with my children. She, in fact, is the reason. She's my oldest, and she is actually the reason that I went on to have more children. Yeah, see, so what some of you know now that I like gangster rap. What you also need to know about me is I really, my family is here, and they would be the first to tell you they didn't even think I'd get married. I'm sure there's lots of reasons they thought that, but I just wasn't that girl. I had dreams. I had plans. I was going to change the world. I don't got time for all that relationship stuff. And so, honestly, like getting married and having lots of, I wasn't the girl that had planned her wedding since she was 12 and had named all their kids on a little MASH paper in high school. Do you guys still play? I don't even know if they still play MASH, but it was a thing. Google that too when you Google Dangerous Minds. But that's it. That really wasn't for me. And then Addie. And everything changed because I recognized and I learned. And in that valley that felt miserable, God actually set me on mission and he taught me what really matters. What really matters. And through that valley, my entire value system was shaped and structured all according to him. And what you also don't know is that it set us on mission, and really the values that God gave us, the mission he gave us 13 years ago, are the same values and mission that this church is built upon. We learned to put God absolutely first and to love him and love others, and that's exactly the mission of Center Church. Christ in the center of me, me in the center of a city. We learned in that valley that life isn't always perfect. But what we can do is we can grow. And so we value here, not that everybody is perfect. We don't even, because nobody is, but we value that we can each grow and we can stretch into the person, not always that we think we should be or even that we want to be, but who God created us to be. We learned that in that valley. And most importantly, a value that this church is built upon is passion. We do not want anything to cool our affection for God. And how did we grasp that in the valley? That's because of number two, his presence gave us peace. His presence gives me peace. It says in the second part of verse 4, I fear no evil, for you are with me. In Psalm 23, up until this point, there's a lot about this scripture that David seems to be telling us a little bit about God. It's like he's talking to us about God. He says in verse 3, he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. But right about the valley, David changes his poem to a prayer, and it gets real, real personal. He says, I fear no evil because you are with me. Now David doesn't care about anybody else that's listening. It's him and God. And I want to encourage you, in your valley, don't just talk about God, talk to him. The valley is the place. You don't got to tell everybody. You don't have to convince anybody else. Don't just talk about what you have learned or what you want to believe or what. Just talk to God. And let's take maybe a little of the script of David. And I know you're like, well, sometimes I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to say. Then let's just say what David said. I'm going to give you three things that you can pray in the valley. It's not in your notes, so you can type them in or jot them aside. But I want you to say this. I want you to say, I am not alone. When the valley feels deep and the thoughts are overwhelming, just stop. I am not alone. I don't have to be afraid. I know it's really scary. I know you don't know what's next. I know you feel pretty hopeless in that maybe you'll lose everything. But I don't have to be afraid because you are with me. You tell God that. You are with me. You are with me. In your deep valley, pray those things. Talk to God. There's a story in Daniel chapter 3, and I encourage you to read it when you, maybe sometime this week, but it's the story of three young men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were in Babylon, and there was the king of Babylon, and his name was Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar. And he had built an idol, and he ordered that everybody within the sound of his voice and beyond would come and bow down to that idol. And whoever did not bow down in worship, they would be immediately thrown into a blazing furnace. And so these three young men actually believed in God. And so they refused to bow down to this idol. And the king got word of this. And so he had these three young men come be brought to him. And they continued to refuse to obey his order. And not only did they refuse to obey his order, but they actually didn't even want to defend themselves, which, I mean, that even made the king more angry. So he bound them, and then he threw them into the blazing furnace. And it goes like this, and it starts in verse 22. It says, the king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. Then the king said, look, I see four. I see four men walking around the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out here. And so they did. And then they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was not even the smell of fire on them. What bound them was loosed in the fire, and they walked out without a wound. Three men in a fire, but the fourth, that looked like the Son of God, was with them when it got really, really, really hot. And not only did the fire not burn them, but the one thing that held them back, that's the thing that was burned, and that's the only thing that was burned. So I want to encourage you that in this valley, what's holding you back is actually the thing that's going to be burned away. And you are going to come through to the other side on the greener pastures more free. You're going to come through stronger, and you're going to come through better, because his presence is going to be there, and it's going to give you incredible peace, and you will have a renewed realization of who Jesus really is. So you do not have to be afraid. You can lean in. And Jesus promises, if you invite him to, Jesus promises to be near to you in these difficult times. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present, not just present, ever-present. When you're in trouble, he's not just near, he's really near. He's close. He is right by your side in that fire. And you will come out unharmed. And I do know that so often, when things hit and we want to know why, we all want to know why. It's just part of grief, really. You know, a lot of times there's shock, and then there's sorrow, and then there's that struggle, that why? Why did this happen? And often we think that if we understood why, that it would somehow make us feel better. It won't. It won't. Reasons don't make it better. Explanations don't remove the pain. Why does not remove the pain? If I had known what caused Down syndrome, or why that happened to me, or what occurred that would make this, why, it would not have changed the impact, the hurt, the pain, the grief, the loss. It wouldn't have changed any of it. What removed my pain was the presence of God. God is with us, and it's his presence that gives us peace that passes any of our understanding. He takes the pain. No explanation can take the pain. Only he can. So I encourage you and I challenge you, stop looking and searching for answers. Just look to the Savior. That is where your peace will come from. His presence gives us peace. How is that possible? That's number three. God's power gives me life. It's God's power. It says in the last part of verse 4, his rod and staff comfort me. So the meaning of the Hebrew word for rod, which is sebet, and staff, which is mishena, the Hebrew word sebet has the idea of a stick. That's what it means. And it originally referred to part of a tree. And in the Old Testament, the stick was used to protect sheep from other animals. It was a stick that would protect them from the foxes and the lions and whatever came after them. And in the book of Proverbs, the stick was used for discipline. So sebet actually has a sense of authority and power. That's what the rod is. It is powerful. It has all authority and also protection. And then the Hebrew word mishena has the idea of something to lean on, staff, support. Your staff is your support, something you can trust. So together, the two words paint a picture of a strong, protective shepherd whom we can trust, one who not only cares for us, but will protect us. His rod and his staff will comfort me. So if we're following a shepherd like sheep, and sheep are sometimes compared to very dumb animals, and sometimes we can be this way as well. So we're following the shepherd, and danger and trouble and the threat of death come in all kinds of forms. Life's foxes and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. He is there with his rod and his staff. He protects us, and we can trust him that he is going to lead us through. And that's what David is trying to let us know. He's wanting us to know that we can believe this about God, that we're going to pass through, we're going to get to the other side. How could David know this? Well, just one chapter earlier in Psalm 22, at the very beginning, David actually cries out, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knows valleys. He's been there. He felt forsaken. That was a whole chapter previous, and now here he is, and he's telling us, oh yeah, I made it through. I can trust him. And not only does David make it through the trouble in Psalm 22, but this shepherd, David, led by the Spirit of God, is actually foretelling about what is to come in Jesus, our good shepherd. Because those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Those are the exact words that Jesus said, our good shepherd said, as he hung on the cross and he died for us. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then he died. So Jesus sacrificed his life. He took the sting of death so that we don't have to. He defeated eternal death on the cross for us on that day. So we get to pass through what he has already defeated. We only experience the shadow of death. That's what this scripture says, that we experience, I fear no evil, for you are with me, because what we're walking through is only the valley of the shadow of death. Shadow of death, is that scary? Maybe. I get hit by an airplane every single day. Every day I'm hit by an airplane. My home is in the direct flight path of the San Diego airport. And so there are certain times a day that I get hit every 45 seconds. How do we know this? We've timed it. And sometimes that flight path has an airplane hitting our home every 45 seconds. But what actually hits me and passes over my house is the shadow of the airplane. It's always funny to us when people are in from another part of or another state, we have friends coming and visiting, or people who haven't been to our house that maybe live in another part of the city, and they'll be out on our like back patio, and we'll be sitting out there talking, and here it comes. Here comes the plane. And they will stop. Like we'll be mid-sentence, and they'll stop, and we'll just like keep talking. And then we see like the terror on their face, and we're like, what? And they're like, is this normal, this airplane? We know, because we've watched it. We've passed through. We've seen the shadow. And then they experienced that. Oh. So would you rather be hit by an airplane or the shadow of an airplane? Because what God's telling you in this passage of Scripture is that we don't face death, only the shadow of death. The wrath, the pain, the eternal consequences of death has already been burned through Christ on the cross. We don't have to be afraid of shadows. We can walk through the valley of shadow of death and fear no evil. I know that the valley is hard. I know that life has sorrow. We can look at our circumstances and we can honestly say, man, this is not how it could be. For some of you sitting here in this room today, you can look at your circumstances and say, this is not how it should be. And it shouldn't. But it is how it is. And we get to choose whether we're going to let God be in control or not. Because the test of your faith, of your religion, of what you truly believe, it is not found on the mountaintop. That's not really when we're tested. The acid test of what you really, really believe is what you do when you are in the valley of the shadow of death. If your hope is in Christ today, then you do not have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Yes, we're all going to die. 100% mortality rate. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Some of you might even feel like, oh, I'm dying right now. Everything we have, everything we hope to have on this earth, it's all going to burn. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready for that? And in Colossians 2:7, it says, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. I want to invite you this morning to sink your soul into God's love. Not these other truths, not these other ponderings and wonderings, but sink your soul into the love of God and let your lives be built on him, because then you will grow strong. And in the valley, you can actually overflow with thankfulness. That's hard sometimes to believe because we have such limited perspective in these hard times. Our lives can often look like driving up a windy road behind a huge semi-truck, right? We cannot see around the corner. We can't see what's coming next on all these twists and turns. Our judgments have such limited perspective, but God has no limits. He sees it, and he's the good shepherd, and he wants to guide you through it, and he's going to protect you, and he's going to comfort you with his rod and his staff all the way, and he is God, and we are not. So when we put our faith in him, we can truly embrace, okay, there's more to this life than just this life. He's in control. He has a plan. But do I? And the only plan that you need to make is saying yes to God and then holding on tight as he sees you through. And that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will live in you. And that is good. And that is how you live in the goodness of God, even when you're scared to death. Will you pray with me? Lord, I know in this room there's many valleys, and there are people that are going through scary stuff. And I know that you have a purpose. You have a purpose for this path that they are on, even when we can't see it. It is for our good. It is for a mission that you want to set us on. It's not just to make us miserable. And I know that your presence can bring incredible peace. No answers to our questions can bring peace like the presence of God. And you want to bring life through your power in this dark place. And so the only way to that is through relationship with you, saying yes and accepting the sacrifice that you made on the cross when you died. And so while we're here this morning, I want to give people a chance who have not made that decision or maybe have kind of wandered off looking for answers instead of looking for a savior, and you've wandered off. You're like, I got to get back to that. I got to go back to the good shepherd. And if that's you, whether it's the first time, you're like, man, I need to say yes to Jesus and accept his goodness in my life. Or maybe it's just coming back to that first love. Would you just look up at me when no one else is looking? Just look up. I see you. Yeah. I see you. He sees you. Anyone else? God, I just pray for the decisions that are being made in this room. those that are being made a little more publicly and those that are just happening deep in our heart. God, we believe that you did take the sting of death on the cross for us. We accept that, and we ask you to come into our lives and forgive us so that we can have life through the power of you. For those of us that are just walking through some hard stuff, I ask for your hope to fill this room, that your rod and your staff would comfort, power and support, all authority of heaven and earth, and all the strength that we need would come and fill our hearts, and that we'd focus our minds on you and allow you to lead us through to the greener pastures and the promises and the hope that you have for every single one of us, because you are God and you are good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity? Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.